You are Locked On Rangers, your daily Texas Rangers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On the Texas Rangers. I am joined today by the special guest that is he's just guest now. He's no longer special guest. He is just guest. Grant Schiller, prospect, expert, extraordinaire. How you doing, buddy?
I was doing good until you removed my special tag.
I'm sorry. Would you like it back and then extra special guest?
I would like that. I think that would be necessary to make up for the hurt feelings that I have.
That's fair. I'm joined by extra special guest, Grant Schiller, the prospect expert. We are here to talk about very important things that are going on with the Rangers, which, you know, I'm not going to lie to you. There ain't nothing. I already talked about the most important thing that happened this week, which is Delino DeShields coming back. I actually talked earlier this week with Locked On Padres host Javi Reyes about like how they're kept trading away Joey Gallo's friends. And now he has a friend back. And I feel like that's not insignificant.
Yeah, no, he was very visibly excited to have Delino back. And even though it's a minor league deal, I'm pretty confident he'll be in the leagues.
I mean, like, who else is going to be like the fourth outfielder on this team? I mean, there's not that much a stiff competition.
Right.
At least the backup center fielder.
I want to say it was on here that I first said, like, 2 months ago that Delino would probably be coming back because he's, like, the perfect guy for what they need and that he's just good enough where if Leody isn't ready to start on opening day and needs some AAA time, you can roll with him as the starter for a little bit and also bad enough where you can just bench him whenever Leody's ready.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, right now they have on the Rangers website as their official dev chart, Eli White as the backup center fielder, which...
Yes. Okay. It'll be Delino.
Yeah, I am not having much doubt about that. Also, I completely forgot that Charlie Culberson was a thing. Like, completely forgot until I saw him listed fourth on the second base depth chart, and he's not listed anywhere else. So he's just fourth string...
Second baseman,
okay. Which, you know, honestly, I think he might be better than that. They have Nick Solak, number one, Rugi, two, Tejeda, three, Culberson, four. Elvis is listed as the primary third baseman, which, you know,
I guess.
As of right now, I think that's where things will end up. Unless Tejeda, I don't know why they have Tejeda listed on like the major league depth chart. I mean, he's not going to be a major leaguer to start the year. Like, surely not.
Yeah, he'll be in Double A. Odor will hopefully be in Boston, although it doesn't seem like that's going to happen.
I mean, they did just have their former MVP retire. So.
Yeah, they did. But does Odor really fill a second base role?
Does he fill a role? That's the question. Like, any role at all. Like, that... Honestly, that's kind of where I am. Like, is he even a big leaguer anymore? Maybe? For somebody? For a garbage Rangers team? Probably.
Yeah, I guess. I was really hoping that the Odor for Eovaldi trade that was talked about in July would actually come off in the offseason. But honestly, it doesn't seem like it will.
It made some sense. Like, of all the trades, like, it makes some sense. But,
right.
Like, I don't know. I'm kind of over Odor talk, and I'm ready to talk about these huge, important signings that the Rangers made, including Nick Vincent, Spencer Patton, Sam Gaviglio, and Hunter Wood, as well as Delino. But Spencer Patton has a Rangers past, and... It's not as pretty as I remember it. Not that I remember it being particularly beautiful or anything, but he had kind of a rough go of it in his major league debut with the Rangers, didn't he?
Yeah, on the 2015 team, which was, I guess, his second year technically, but it was his rookie year, he allowed 24 runs in 24 innings while being allowed to throw 27 games for a division winner. So, I mean, the background numbers weren't as bad, but he still had a 551 FIP. Like, he was bad.
Yeah.
and was allowed to be bad for quite a while. Then moved on to the Cubs the next year, was bad, and went to Japan. And then now he's back.
So he is, what is he? Is he a depth bullpen arm? I mean, this bullpen seems like fine. I don't really get the move here unless they just want some AAA bullpen depth. Like, because I don't think I don't see him making the major league unless, I mean, I don't know what he did in Japan. I was not watching much Japanese baseball, not nearly as much as South Korean baseball, but I don't know. We've seen pitchers turn around before in Japan, and you know, I hope it works. I hope it worked out for him that he kind of figured some things out that he needed to figure out, because clearly he had some stuff to iron out before he could become a big leaguer. And I don't know. Are you hopeful that he did that, or are you just thinking this is kind of a whatever signing?
I think it's AAA depth. I think you're right on that. So his first 2 years in Japan, 2017 and 2018, he was very good. He was striking guys out. He was throwing strikes. He had ERAs under three. 2019 and 2020, he walked 5.1 per nine and 4.6 per nine, and the ERAs were pushing five. So I think this was more that he didn't have a spot on a big league Japanese team than we were trying to bring back somebody who's going to be successful. So I think he's taking a AAA job because he wasn't going to have an NPL spot or NPB spot. I think it's just pure depth.
Well, you know, you got to have some of those signings, and there were quite a few of them with the other guys. I mean, I talked a little bit about Gaviglio, how he might be kind of a long man role. But he'd had some big league success, unlike Patton, and I think he's much more likely to make the big league club. Hunter Wood and Nick Vincent, I don't really know much about. Do you know much about those guys, or are they kind of like, I'm assuming they're all fringy, because it's all minor league deals with training camp, big league spring training invites, right?
Right. I think Wood and Vincent probably have the best shot of any of these arms to break camp with the team. I mean, Wood obviously has had a very small sample size in the big leagues. He's got 86 major league innings over 3 years. But what he's done has been pretty decent. And he's a guy who can go more than an inning at a time. So for a team that won't be competitive, just that ability alone is somewhat valuable. Nick Vincent's a guy who's been around a while. He's 34 now and isn't quite what he was. He had a 3 or 4 year stretch with Seattle where he was pretty good. And before that with San Diego where he was good. But last year, in again a small sample in a 60-game season with Miami, he didn't miss bats, and he gave up some tanks. In 2019 with San Francisco, he gave up tanks. So obviously being in the Rangers 500-yard ballpark will help with that. But I don't know. He has a ton left. He could be the last pin arm out of spring training. That's very possible. But in order of likelihood to make the team, I'd go Wood, then Vincent, then Gaviglio, and then Patton.
Yeah, yeah, that makes some sense. So if you're liking those guys more than Gaviglio to make the big league club, then you know, I feel pretty decent about them. I mean, I'm not that over the moon about them, but like, I mean, it's minor league bullpen depth signing. I'm not gonna have that strong opinion about just about any of them, unless there's like a few years ago, which was it? Timmy Lincecum, that was an exciting minor league, whatever, and Bartolo Colon. But these guys are not that. They might have that personality, but nobody knows them, so it's less exciting.
These are the guys who are vying to be this year's Jeanmar Gomez.
My goodness. Oh, Jeanmar Gomez. I like to pronounce it like it's French, because it's just very more fancy that way. But we're going to get back to more of these exciting signings. Baseball Prospectus came out with their top 10 prospects. I'm going to surprise Grant with some of them. Right after this word from our sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. You can go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They've got everything that you need, from engine control modules, brake pads, brake parts, and tail lamps, even motor oil and new carpet. So whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, you can get everything you need in just a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Their catalog is unique and so easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your car or truck wherever you choose from the brands, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com, they're always reliably low. The same for pros and do-it-yourselfers. Why would you spend up to twice as much on the same exact parts? You wouldn't. So you would go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck, and write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us?" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Built Bar is back with the best tasting protein bar you will ever have. The best tasting protein bar you could ever even dream of. They're new and improved and even delicious-er. They've got all kinds of new flavors. You know that they're covered in 100% chocolate, which means they are soft, super easy to chew, and they're great for the health conscious guy or gal looking to lose or maintain weight while indulging in an absolutely delicious treat. They're low calorie, low sugar, and they're also high in protein and high in fiber. They're great for the keto diet. So, our listeners, you can go to builtbar.com, use that promo code Locked On, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code Locked On for 20% off at builtbar.com. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts. All right, we are here to talk about top prospects like I had been doing for the last month, and there are some real surprises. I mean, the top five is kind of obvious. It just kind of depends on where you value certain things, where you'd have these guys. Number one is Leody Taveras. Number two, Josh Young. Three, Dane Dunning. Four, Sam Huff. Five, Cole Wynn. Now, I'm going to let you guess on these numbers 6 through 10. I will give you the general position, whether it's outfielder, infielder, or pitcher.
Okay.
So this one is an infielder.
Maximo Acosta.
No.
Anderson Tejeda.
Nope. Huh. You want another hint?
Yeah.
This is a draft pick.
Justin Foscue.
Yes.
Okay.
Justin Foscue is number six. Number seven, we also have an infielder.
Maximo Acosta.
Nope.
Anderson Tejeda.
Yes.
Okay.
This next one, I don't know that you're going to get, because I did not see him on any other list. Not even in the top 30, I don't think.
Really?
Hold on, let me double check that. I don't think he was there, but he might be. Definitely wasn't top 10. Yep, not in the top 30 on Pipeline.
Okay.
He is an outfielder.
An outfielder, not top 30.
And I'll Zion, give you,
Zion I'll Bannister.
Give you, I'll give you that he was drafted, not signed.
He was drafted. Interesting. So I know Bubba was top 30, so it's not going to be him. Steel Walker was top 30, although we traded for him. Is it Evan Carter?
It is. It okay. is Evan yeah. Carter. That was the most surprising to me. I want to read you a little bit about what they had to say, because I thought it was really interesting.
Yeah, please do.
This was by friend of the pod, Sam Hale. I don't think I've had him on here yet. Need to work on that. Let's see. They're talking about the Rangers picking him at 50 overall was who, but some of the more embedded evaluators than us and than them, they did manage to source a third-hand report. While there's always risk in that kind of game of telephone, Carter appeared to be a steal in the second round with potential for a plus hit tool and a that's driving the profile. So no one remains an unknown prospect for long. Carter crushed the International League standing shoulder to shoulder with other first round picks with the bat. The ranking feels super aggressive, but they suspect it will look conservative by June of 2021. They put an OFP of 55 on him with extreme variance. So, and their ETA, Major League ETA, is 2024. So that's the interesting part. I trust their sourcing. Which even their sourcing, they feel like a little bit dicey on it. But that's exciting for a guy that, you know, all of those draft picks last year, I think they're all just kind of like, what, who, huh? Mm-hmm. Because there was so little scouting. And if you draft well that year, you could end up stealing, like, having a good bounty, like, two drafts worth, I feel like, if you did your homework better than everybody else. And, you know, history is not on the side of the Rangers in terms of drafting well and definitely out-drafting and out-scouting other people. But if they did, then kudos. Even just hitting on, like, two of your top three round picks, like, that's that's what I'm aiming. That's my new bar. Like, hit on two of those guys that they're at least big leaguer. They don't have to, like, be MVPs or future All-Stars, but, like, they should be big leaguers. Two of those three. Feels like a fair bar, right?
Yeah. Yeah. On Carter specifically, I'm choosing to take that with a grain of salt. I know that the reports out of Instructs were very positive. But the Rangers are one of the best teams at hyping up and overhyping their own prospects to try and drive value. And I know that the BP staff, more so than Baseball America and MLB this year, was really trying to use their sourcing to get a sense of how people did Instructs, how they did at the alternate site, since we weren't able to evaluate with our own eyes. So I think there's a good chance that they probably over-trusted Ranger sources, who are always very, very positive about their own guys. So it's very promising that he's up there and that they liked him so much. But I'd like to see it myself before I trust reports on Rangers guys, just as a general rule of thumb.
Or even their own first-hand reports, not, like, Game of Telephone. Which, I mean, like, don't get me wrong, like, that kind of, like, inspires, like, a little bit of excitement that Evan Carter's up there. But it's also kind of a middle finger, almost, to the other prospect. Like, we really don't value you that we can just take, like, third-hand about this guy who we haven't seen and we don't think you're that good of a prospect anyway, so
we can put him up at 8. Yeah,
exactly. It's not just like 10. He's not like at the bottom of the list. He is at 8. And that's not a great sign, especially with these other two. All right. Both of the other two are right-handed pitchers. Number 9. If I give you this hint, then it'll just give it away. But he's made his major league debut.
Is Jonathan Hernandez still a prospect?
No.
So it's a righty, so it won't be Palumbo, who might still be rookie eligible, but it won't be him. Dane Dunning, you already said, is top 5. I would hope they didn't put Kyle Cody there.
They did.
They did. Okay.
They did. Okay. Kyle Cody as a top 10 prospect, number 9. I was going to say he's tall, but I feel like that would just have given it away.
Yeah, I think that is another, I don't know what kind of language I can use on this, but that's a darning statement about their thoughts of the Rangers farm system.
Yeah. They said that he was one of their favorite prospects in the 2017 live looks. And I'm like, well, it's not 2017 anymore. It is 2021. We are 4 years after that. And there's been a lot of concerning things happening with him since then. The Tommy John and just being able to, like, showing that he could go 5 innings this year was big for him. But, like, for that to put him as a top 10 prospect, like,
yeah,
come on. I don't even think Pipeline had him. Did they even have him in there? I don't think they did. Oh, no, he is. He isn't here at 24 on Pipeline.
So what this tells me is that BP either has very little info on the young Latin American signings, Acosta and Acuna and Laura and a few other guys, or the info they have they really don't like. Which, given that that's a crop that's very important for the rebuild, I'd hope that it's that they don't have much info.
Yeah, I will tell you what they said about. They had a little blurb about Acosta and a couple other guys that really concerned me. The last one is a right-handed pitcher who has not made his major league debut.
Nasco.
Nope, but we have both seen him in person.
A right-handed pitcher we both seen in person has not made his major league debut. Who is it?
Tyler Phillips.
Oh, they had him top 10?
They had him at 10. Yep. Okay. So, yeah, that is a, it feels like a scathing indictment. They didn't have, they had him above Apostle, which, that's concerning.
That and upsetting. Is,
about both that is those a guys very surprising above Apostle.
8, 9, 10.
Yeah. So they had, they said they liked Weems and Benasco and Ornelas and Enriquez. They had some really concerning things to say about Hans Kraus. They have him listed as MLB arms, but probably relievers. They said he had a lot of issues with command towards the end. They say he has a military grade arm, which is great. But they don't trust the third pitch and they don't trust the ability to throw strikes. They had some concerns about Laura and Acosta as well. What did they say about Acosta? The defense showed positive signs. He's a plus athlete who will build on the profile with age and body maturation. The bat still has a long way to go with the more fine skills like pitch recognition still in development. And Laura, they said he had a less than favorable appearance in Arizona. The bat looked overmatched and he lacked the power expected from a 6'5 outfielder. The defensive profile is a bit of a mystery. And it's not necessarily a warning bell, but a caution sign. Young players need time. And in the case of Laura, it's best to be patient and watch. So that is from Sam Hale. Both of those are from Sam Hale. So not exactly booming with confidence on two guys you kind of need to at least be excited about.
Yeah.
And I definitely, I think I had them both. I had Laura in like 12 or something. But I had Acosta top 10. With Hans Kraus, they had Owen White there as well as the MLB arms, but probably relievers. But it sounded like they were higher on Ornelas than they were Acosta, which I'm like, that's not great.
Now, I like Ornelas.
Well, I do too.
I say that I like him. I've never seen him. I like what I've heard about him in the general profile and the bat speed that I've heard about. But, yeah, I mean, you just got to hope that that's just early stuff on Acosta and Laura. It develops over time.
They're both like 18. So
they are.
And this year was weird. I'm willing to give anyone who had a bad year in 2020 a pass because everybody had a bad year. Like everybody on the earth, pretty much.
Just about.
So, I mean, outside of like Jeff Bezos, like we all had a pretty crappy year. I mean, even Jeff Bezos, like he still had to be stuck inside like the rest of us. So like, even though he's earning a bunch of money, like if you can't go out and spend it, then like, it's not that exciting. I'd imagine. Well, with all my experience being a billionaire.
Kim Kardashian didn't have a bad year. She had her own island she could go to and be fine and get to see a hologram of her dead dad, I think it was, saying that Kanye was a genius. So that sounds like a pretty good year to me.
Yeah, not bad at all. Before we wrap this up, I want to get angry about the St. Louis Cardinals and Nolan Arenado again because I haven't had my fill of righteous anger. So the deal there is the Rockies, it makes me angry, but it also makes me grateful. Like whenever I think, okay, the Rangers are so stupid and so bad and like everything sucks, at least they're not the Rockies. Like the Rockies have two of the most exciting, best, most fun left side of the infield players in baseball. And they're going to lose both of them in like a year and a half span because ownership just doesn't want to pay money. And not only do they not want to pay money, now that when they decided to pay money, they're paying $50 million of Nolan Arenado's contract because he had an opt out after this year. That is the only like partial reasoning that they can like cobble together that like semi defends them is like, oh, well, we thought he was going to opt out after this year anyway. So like, let's trade him for some middling prospects. Nobody listed in the top 10 of the Cardinals system. Like not one top 10 player for not one top 10 prospect for a top 10 player in baseball. And you're going to eat $50 million of that contract Like, who else were they talking to? I just don't understand how this deal, like, happens. Like, I just, it bothers me. Because we were talking just, like, last year about, like, the Rangers, including, like, three top 10 prospects and, like, an MLB-ready player and, like, also, like, eating, like, all of the money. And then he goes and has, like, one, like, okay year. And, like, this is the package he gets? Just either walk me further down the ledge, push me off it, or, like, walk me back. I need to go somewhere on this ledge.
I think you're going to jump all the way off of it. So there's one of two, or I guess these aren't exactly mutually exclusive, things that happened from a Rangers perspective. A, they were never really after him last year. And that was all just lip service to try and get excitement built up. B, the Rockies are just a stupid franchise, which everything points towards that direction.
That's got to be at least a partial factor, like, no matter where this goes.
Yeah. They acted like they had to do it, which annoys me. And even if you somehow convince yourself that you have to trade Nolan Arenado, surely there's a team that's willing to give you more than the Cardinals did. I mean, I know there's, like, five teams in baseball that want to win right now. But surely for Nolan Arenado, somebody's giving up a top prospect. Just one.
But, I mean, like, I don't know. Even, like, even the Padres, like, I feel like they might have even, like, done something there.
Yeah. They could have moved Machado to first base. I mean, it's Breller. He'd have done something.
Honestly, they could have moved to the second. Like, screw it. Why not?
It's really frustrating, and I mean, baseball, I mean, I love baseball so much, but the whole sport is so frustrating right now, and this is just, like, the worst that's happened so far. It's just, teams should want to win, like, I don't know. And apparently the Rockies still think that they can win. I don't know what in the world their owner and their GM have in mind, but I mean, they lay off, like, half their front office, make these terrible moves with an already bad team, and they look at, like, the four good players they have, and they say, oh, yeah, we could be a wild card in a division with the Dodgers and the Padres. Like, it's so frustrating. Not even as a Rockies fan. Like, it is so frustrating to look at them and know that people have to deal with that team.
Like, as a fan of baseball, like, and Trevor Story is going to be a free agent, like, after this year. And, like, I don't see a way, even if they, like, offer him, like, a contract that's competitive with the other offers.
Why would he take it?
I don't think they will. Why? Yeah, exactly. Why would he take it? They finished 26 and 34 in fourth place in their division last year. They just were not good at all. Like, their best players were Daniel Murphy. Outside of, like, Arenado and Story, Daniel Murphy, who's 35. They have Kevin Pillar, who's 31. Charlie Blackman, who's 33 and aging, not great. They got a bunch of other, like, not great deals. They still have our boy. I believe they're still paying his contract.
Ian Desmond, actually, yes.
Yeah.
They are still paying his contract.
I don't think he played at all last year.
No, he opted out.
Okay. Yeah. And, like,
I think he said that he wanted to be around for his kids as all the racial injustice protests were going on and kind of explain things to them. So he upped it out.
Yeah, I remember his long statement. And then, like, the rest of their starting pitching isn't great. I mean, like, Germán Márquez is, like, okay. Kyle Freeland had a bad year. John Gray had another bad year. And a guy who looked at one point like he might be a serviceable starting pitcher might have been coerced to death.
Speaking of bad moves, how the heck haven't they traded that guy?
No idea. Maybe I think it's because they still think they can win.
Like,
if an ownership is, if a GM is bad and dumb, it takes an owner to realize that, or at least, like, come to grips, like, just a little bit of that. in order to like make a move, fire him, and like get a GM who at least has some idea what he's doing.
Yeah.
The GM must have like either some really good blackmail on the owner, or is like, I don't know, really great at mind control, hypnosis and stuff like that. Because there is no way that this owner should be stomaching these like huge losses that I'm sure he's taking, or not making nearly as much money as he could. I don't want to say huge losses because they're only a professional baseball team. Nobody's losing that much money, if anything. But like spending that kind of money, because they're not spending money. They're just spending it in the wrong places and then trading the good players and then probably not paying the other good players that are going to leave.
Yeah.
And so, and their farm system's not that great either, is it?
It's bad. They're in the worst position. They have a bad GM and they have an owner who's buying what that GM is selling. If I'm a Rockies fan, I mean, the worst thing I can say about this franchise is that I would rather be a Rangers fan. I'd rather be a Pirates fan. I'd rather be a Marlins fan.
Oof. That is a scathing indictment. If you're a Rockies fan, then like at least you have the Avalanche and the Broncos and the Nuggets.
Yeah, just, that's right.
Just kind of forget about the Broncos.
Yeah.
I mean, the Broncos are less of a depressing place than the Rockies are.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And they've had to watch Brock Osweiler and Paxton Lynch.
They have. They really have.
Trevor Siemian.
Yeah. My God. Well, you know, it started off in kind of a boring, depressing place, and it ended in kind of, I feel like, a hopeful place. Like, no matter how bad things are, you could be a Rockies fan. And I feel like that's where we should leave this week.
That's right. I agree. Quick note before we leave, anybody who reads, check out the author Stuart Turton. I've read his two books, The Devil in the Dark Water and The Seven and a Half Deaths of Evelyn Hardcastle, recently. And if you're into like a mystery fiction book, they're both really good. So check those out.
Solid. Oh, and plug for Jeff Passan's article about Drew Robinson. I watched the E60. It is harrowing and intense. Very powerful. Be sure you're ready for it when you sit down, but you should definitely read it if you're not quite ready for the full intense experience of it. But definitely check it out. And, you know, I am rooting very hard for Drew Robinson, even more than I already was. The fact that he's got an invite to spring training with the Giants is incredible. Wishing him all the best of luck, and hopefully we'll see him in the big leagues this year. That would be a lot of fun and very exciting. But until next time, don't forget, it can be worse. You could be a Rockies fan. And don't forget to enjoy baseball.